Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. You stop and think about that for a while. Amen? Think about all the dangers, all the toils, all the snares that the devil laid for you in your life to try to get you in a trap to keep you. You think about that. Those things, you have already come through those things. And how did you get through them? By the grace of God. It was by His grace alone. Amen. That always gets you through those things. Thank God for that. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I do want to pray for protection, for safety, not just for us, but for everybody in our area. Ken LaFollette, his mom, Arlene, and dad, Gary, they were here with us last Sunday. And Ken got saved last Sunday. And he just excited about it. But he wants us to pray for somebody that I think he either used to work for or still does there. It said several years ago, his home got destroyed by a tornado, and he rebuilt it, and it just got destroyed again last night. And so that's somebody that needs prayer. So I want us to pray for anybody that might be in danger tonight for this area, for our church especially. And we're just going to trust the Lord tonight. But I want you to pray about the service that we're going to have. I'm not much on ritualism, as it were, but the Bible does prescribe certain things for us to do. If we have healing, then someone comes and the elders gather together and we anoint them with oil and we pray for their healing. That's what the Bible says to do. If someone is saved, we baptize them in water baptism. But that only shows outwardly what the Holy Ghost has already done on the inside. And the same is true for the communion or the Lord's Supper. Eating a small little unleavened wafer, drinking a little bit of grape juice, does not fill us with the Holy Spirit, does not save us, it does not atone for our sins temporarily until we come to the next service. Doesn't do anything, but we are showing by our testimony as Christians, and that's what this is. It's a witness. It's a testimony. These are the works that our Savior provided for us that don't save us, but they show that we are saved, and that as Christ's body was broken, as His blood was spilled, as He suffered on the cross, so we are in agreement with Christ that if that just happens to be how our life turns out, then so be it. That's the way that it'll be with us, as long as we can get the glory on the other side. And so I want us to go in the Lord to prayer tonight. Appreciate anybody who would be watching the service tonight. We invite you to participate with us. And just follow along with us. But let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, shall we? Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this night. I thank You, dear God, for, to me, a very, very special night. Lord, my mind goes back to many, many times here in this church where I practiced, Lord, what You prescribed for us to do. And I thank You, dear God, Lord, for all of those times. I thank You, Lord, for the teaching of it, the meaning of it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that You would guide our hearts and our thoughts into this service, into this night. And Father, Lord, we'd not be distracted by the weather. Lord, that You would just keep us safe in here tonight. And Lord, Father, that we would be in fellowship with You as we are and should be in fellowship one with another. Lord, Father, just visit with Your people tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I'd like for you to take your Bible, if you would, turn to Exodus chapter 12. Let's go to the root here. The Bible says it declares the end from the beginning. And that which was is that which shall be. The things that have happened are prophecy. In Exodus chapter 12, we see the very first Passover that was announced. It was when the Israelites were in the land of bondage. They were in Egypt, and God was going to deliver them. God had already sent 9 plagues to the land of Egypt to try to convince Pharaoh that it was time to let his people go. Pharaoh was not convinced. And so on the 10th plague, Pharaoh finally said, get these people out of here. Cost him his own firstborn child. And we see here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, God is prescribing. He's saying to them exactly what he wants them to do. And I don't know about you, but I believe that when God says to do something this way, this is the way that we're supposed to do it. If it says do it this way, this is what we do. And so in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, verse 21, the Bible says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And that word is used because it's precisely what it was. The angel was going to pass over them rather than coming to them. The destroyer was going to pass over them. And so the lamb that was to be slain was designated as the Passover. So I want you to think about Christ here. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Strike the lintel on the two side posts and the blood that is in the basin, with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. See, there's the opposite here. When he smites, he's going to pass through. But if he's not going to smite, he's going to pass over. He's going to pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, I just like it when God sees the blood. Amen? When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. It's not going to pass through. It's going to pass over. And will not suffer, which means allow, will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons for how long? Forever. Some people ask me, how come we do not celebrate the Jewish observance of Passover? I'm going to read you some scripture here in a little bit. Verse 25, and it shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. Not only are we to perform this, we're to teach it to our children. Amen? Teach it to our children. Daddy, why are we doing this? Why do we have this service? This is to commemorate the Lord's Passover. Not just, excuse me, a little lamb, but the Lamb of God that was slain. Teach your children that. Okay? How many of us know that when we teach our children the law, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to keep it? I think it's good to teach them the law. That doesn't mean they're going to obey it. Teach them the real Passover. That God through his grace, I mean, we just sang Amazing Grace. God through his grace passes over us when he sees the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Leaven is always a picture of sin in the Bible. Christ was an unleavened loaf. He was without sin. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. And I want you to notice this. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So, should we keep the Jewish law, the tradition of Passover? I don't have a problem if you do. I think it would be neat. Okay? But let me tell you something. The Passover was fulfilled. It's done. It's and when we do what it is that we're doing tonight, whether it's at the specific day or at a specific time, we can do this anytime, any day, anywhere, because Christ has already done it for us. And so we're not prophesying into the future. We're pointing to what's been done in the past by Jesus. It's already accomplished, by the way. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For Christ, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, watch this now, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. You see, there it says, keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with what? The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Can anybody define for me what the bread of truth would be? Thy word is truth, is what Jesus said. By the way, it says sincerity and truth. Two things. Okay? In doing what we're doing tonight, we're not invoking God's blessing in our lives. By doing what we're doing, if we simply just by ritual, by virtue of ritual, just eating an unleavened wafer and drinking the fruit of the vine, that in itself is not washing our sins away. It's not keeping the destroyer from destroying us. It's not keeping us out of hell. What it's doing is it's showing what Christ has already done for us in our place, because we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. And that's what it is. And so we commemorate what Christ has done, not with the old leavened bread, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When you got saved, Passover was enacted for you. It was activated for you. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul's teaching on the Lord's Supper. And it's interesting to me that Paul was not in the room with Jesus on that night. Paul was not there. He was not then one of the disciples of Christ. There were others that were probably still alive at this time. But I'm going to show you that Paul's understanding of the Lord's Supper did not come from Peter, who was there in the room. It didn't come from Peter. It didn't come from Matthew, who was there in the room. It didn't come from him. Paul's understanding of what happened in that room the night that Jesus break the bread and drank the cup, break the bread and gave the cup. He did not drink of that cup. He gave it to his disciples. That very night, Paul was not there and he wasn't hearing from the other disciples on what happened. Paul received this from the Lord himself. Remember, when Paul got saved, he went to Damascus, was baptized there, but he did not confer with the other disciples on what they were believing and how to believe. The Apostle Paul himself received revelations from Jesus himself concerning all the doctrines that we now have in our Bible, including this one. So how does Paul know that these things happened the way they did? Jesus told him, because the one who was there told him, and that was Jesus. Amen? So watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, he's saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, there is no prescription in the Bible for how often to do this. There isn't one. We can follow the rough time of the Passover, doing it in the spring of every year, once a year. Some churches do it every Sunday. I don't know that I like that, and I'll tell you why. Anything that we do every Sunday tends to be robotic and ritualistic, okay? And it, to me, this commemoration is a very, very special thing, and I don't want to run it into the ground. the false evangelist Perry Stone on TBN says that if you take the communion every day, God will make you a rich person. That's heresy. It's heresy. God makes no such promise, by the way. It makes me wonder where his doctrine, what part of the Vatican his doctrine comes from. Amen? Because they're the ones who do it every time. Because the Vatican teaches that if you drink the cup and eat the wafer, then your sins are forgiven until the next time we do this. That's not good enough for me. Amen? It's not good enough for me. Verse 26, he said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You show, this is what we're showing right here. We're showing what we believe. We believe Jesus died and his blood was spilled. And that signified the new covenant, the new contract that God made with us. The new deal. Since you can't keep the law, then I'll send my only son who did keep the law, every law. And he took the ordinances that were against us and nailed them to his cross. And so the curse of the law now is nailed to the cross. This is what we're showing tonight. Aren't you glad? Say amen. So now verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. To me, that is a serious thing. Yeah. Very serious. Now, what determines unworthiness? Well, I can tell you right now, it's not me. So I can't instruct. I'm going to have Brady and Bradley come up here in a minute. And I cannot instruct either one of them to say, now, don't give it to Gary. Okay? I don't want him having it. He's unworthy. It's not my job. Aren't you glad, Gary? Okay. It's not my job to say to anybody here, you can't do this. Whose job is it? Verse 28. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And so in a few minutes, as is our custom, trying to follow the example given to us in Scripture, we will pass out the wafer, unleavened bread, and we will examine ourselves before we eat. And if there's anything in your heart that is not covered in the blood, I'd get it there. Amen? I'd get it there. We're not worthy in and of ourselves. Nobody here is. Everybody here sinners? Say amen. Amen. Christ, however, makes us worthy by his forgiveness of our sins. So I'm going to ask Brady and Bradley to come up here. I appreciate them. And I'm going to ask them each here in just a minute if they would go ahead and dispense of the communion wafers, the bread, and then return. And as it's dispensed to you, if you would just hold on to it until everybody has received, and then we will spend just a few minutes just in prayer. And I want to use the word contemplation. That means thinking about it. Doesn't mean pass out, okay? But prayer, examination of yourself, knowing that what you're about to do shows the Lord's death until he returns. Okay. So gentlemen, would you please go ahead and pass out the bread, please. And if you're here tonight, we practice what is called open communion. We do not require you to be a member. That's not our job. Scripturally, it's not my place to tell you you can or you cannot. Also, there is no one looking at you to see whether or not you're doing this or not. I certainly am not. I'm not looking out into the congregation on purpose. It's not my job to look and see who is and who isn't. If you don't feel tonight that you're not right for this, then don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? And if you need help after the service, I'd be more than glad to visit with you. But there is no judgment nor condemnation here tonight. Can I hear you say amen? We want you to be at peace. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus, our mediator and our Savior, our brother, our Lord, our sacrifice, our Passover. Lord, I never get over, Lord, what you've done for me. I'll never get over, Lord, what you've done for my wife. Lord, what you've done for my children, for my friends, my church. I'll never get over that, God. The fact that you came and offered your life so freely. You're worthy of all the honor that my life can give you. You didn't ask us to be nailed to a cross, although you did say to take up our cross. You didn't ask us to be whipped and scourged and beaten. But Lord, the life that we live sometimes brings about suffering. And Lord, if this life brings whatever amount of suffering it brings, it is far better than the eternal suffering of hell. And so, Lord, how dare we complain? You have provided such a marvelous and a wonderful way for us, and we thank you for that. Lord, forgive us of our sins. We are but dirt, and our hearts are very seldom, if ever, right with you. And yet we want to be free. We want to be clean. We cannot clean ourselves. So we call upon you as our Savior and our Lord, and the one who washes us with the water of his word to cleanse our hearts tonight. Make us pure in your eyes, Lord, that in what we do tonight, we do by faith, glorifying your body that was broken for our benefit. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this gift that we're about to receive. And, Lord, we do show your death until you come. We pray this in Jesus' name. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." All of God's people said, amen. Gentlemen, would you distribute the cup, please? Again, please think of the Lord tonight as we pray. Father, I have in my mind the remembrance, Lord, of the Scriptures. In the days of Moses, when the blood was sprinkled upon the doorpost and on the lintel, that blood faded away, needed to be done every year. And Lord, I think of Jesus, my faithful high priest, who was tempted like we are, yet without sin, the spotless lamb. And how the scriptures teaches that Jesus offered his own blood. And that blood, according to the law, was to be sprinkled 7 times upon the mercy seat. And Lord, as Jesus, the high priest, offering up the blood, his own blood, his divine blood, his incorruptible blood. Upon the mercy seat in heaven, that blood is everlasting. And God, Jesus doesn't need to be crucified every year or every service or every Sunday or every Mass. He doesn't need to be crucified ever again, because that blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven is still there. And your word says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And God, we know that you see the blood right now. It marks the new covenant, the new testament, the new contract. That though we as earthly individuals could never pay the price for our sin, this man, by one sacrifice for all, paid the price. The debt has been cleared, and we are now free. Oh, what a Savior. So, Lord, this cup represents that blood. And we take it into ourselves freely, knowing that we have drunk in the New Testament. When we read it and believe it and accept it, we receive it. So, Lord, show us your word as we show forth the blood, signifying the covenant of the New Testament to all the world tonight. Thank you, God, for being with us tonight, in Jesus' name. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And all of God's people said, thank you, gentlemen. With some people, this might make them shout. With me, it makes me weep. I love what my Savior did for me. He's asked us to do much less than what he did. John chapter 13, will you turn your Bibles there? John chapter 13, verse 4. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said it. Notice that he said, Lord. You see, in those days, it was the responsibility of the servants to wash the Lord's feet. But Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now. Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, to him that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, look at what it says. Happy are ye if ye do them. I don't know what others do. I just know what the Bible says to do. I know what it says. And I could theorize on it. I could give it some symbolic gesture or whatever, but it just says to do this. And this is what we do. So, as is our custom, according to scriptures, we will dismiss from this room. The gentlemen will go downstairs to the fellowship hall. The ladies will go into a room that's been prepared. And we will gird ourselves and we will wash one another's feet. Some say, why do this? Well, I can tell you that as Christ's disciples, we're called to serve one another. I am just the pastor. And yet I get to serve you men. And it's an honor. It's a blessing for me. So we serve one another in Christian love and Christian unity. We have communed with our Lord together. We have fellowship with Him, with His body and His blood. Now we fellowship one with another by condescending. You can't wash a guy's feet standing up. I never was good at even reaching my own feet standing up. Amen? So we humble ourselves the way we're supposed to be. And we wash one another's feet. Does it sound good to you? Amen. Those of you who are following us on the internet, we're going to close our service this part. We can't take the cameras with us. It's good, even in families, if you wash one another's feet. We thank you for joining with us. God bless you.